This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on here. Hey, soccer fans, I got a new sponsor to Soccer Matters. It's Tri-Eagle Energy. There's synergy with their energy because they're also the official energy provider of the Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, and BBVA Compass Stadium. So let's talk energy. There are a lot of energy providers out there. There's always different offers ranging from free weekends, free days, cash bonuses. You know the stick. It goes on and on. You may have fallen for one of these offers, and months later you find out you're paying a higher rate or there are additional fees on your bill. It's different with Tri-Eagle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. So check out Tri-Eagle Energy. Call 877-93-EAGLE or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Get in there, use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN. Also want to mention something to you. March 17th, and you know pediatric cancer awareness and fighting pediatric cancer is close to my heart. Cyfair Dynamo's Youth Soccer Club. My good friend Olivier Finidori, former professional soccer player with the Houston Hotshots in the indoor league that used to play at the Summit. They're going to do the annual Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic in conjunction with Soccer Matters at Dias Park off Kitsman Road in the Cypress area. It's only $50. You get a beautiful t-shirt. All the proceeds go back to a 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, and those funds are earmarked for pediatric cancer research. So it's dynamosoccer.com or cccfund.org to sign up. cccfund.org to sign up. And by the way, 15,000-plus youth yearly are diagnosed with cancer. Enough of that stuff. All right. Greg Berhalter came into Houston yesterday, has been going all around the city doing tremendous work promoting the United States-Chile game on March 26th. You can get your tickets at ussoccer.com or down at the BBVA Compass Stadium box office. He was in early in the morning, as we mentioned earlier in the show tonight, with John and Lance, three segments in the morning. That's unprecedented on Drive Time Radio. And a real big thank you to John Granato and Lance for all their work this morning. They did a great job on the interview, by the way. But he's been all over the city doing a whole bunch of media. I also had an opportunity to get my interview with Greg Berhalter. We appreciate U.S. Soccer for getting down here and bringing him here. Again, it's U.S. Chile, March 26th, ussoccer.com for tickets. Here's the interview I did with Greg Berhalter, the United States men's national team coach. U.S. manager Greg Berhalter joining us right now. And wow, what a day it's been for you. So you were on mainstream radio this morning with our guys, John and Lance. That was a great interview this morning. Three segments. Did you enjoy that?
I did. You know, I think the guys did a great job. You know, it's really interesting to talk soccer to people that don't speak it every day and hear their perspective. I think that was a great part of the conversation.
Yeah, it's great. And again, March 26th, the United States taking on Chile. You can get your tickets at ussoccer.com. Greg in town, he saw the Champions League game last night. He's been running all over Houston today and doing all kinds of media appearances. All right, one of the big sells for this team for me is just the youth and the youth now beginning to kind of take this team over and grab the mantle of the United States national team. Is that exciting for you? And what type of work does that entail individually with some of these kids?
So it is exciting. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, we still have an obligation to be developing the culture of the national team. And with that, you do need experienced players, guys that have been around. But we also have this core group of young players that's coming through that, you know, are performing at a really high level. And to work with these guys and to see their enthusiasm is really exciting for a coach. So what we've been doing is, you know, we've been meeting with these guys and going over video and talking to them about style of play and trying to do as much prep work as we can before they get into camp. So they already have an understanding of some of our objectives.
Let's talk about Tyler Adams. And I thought his development and the way he moved on to playing in the Bundesliga, where you obviously played as a player as well. He's in a club that has a similar playing style. They have three clubs, the Red Bulls, Salzburg, and Leipzig, as you know. That just seemed like a pretty seamless from the outside transition into playing in the Bundesliga coming from Major League Soccer.
It was. And I think in Tyler's case, the first thing is he's a phenomenal soccer player. So he has the skill set. But the second thing is, you know, the path was right for him in terms of playing for New York Red Bull, you know, staying within the organization, going to a team that plays very similar. You know, I watched his first game in the Bundesliga, and I saw, you know, the camera showed him in the tunnel before the game. And this is an 18-year-old, 19-year-old getting ready to play his first Bundesliga game. And he looked like he's played 100 games already. I mean, really good mindset by Tyler. Very, very calm and very focused on achieving his goals.
All right, so we have this influx of players in Germany. Obviously, Germany has embraced the American player. Josh Sargent, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams. There's more over there. What is it about Germany and the culture of soccer over there with young players that you obviously experienced that they will benefit from?
So, you know, I was just over in Germany, and I got that that question was asked a lot. And when I'm thinking about it, I think there's a couple things. The first thing is that there was a transition from the Germans to start playing younger players. It wasn't always the case. When I went there, it was older players.
Yeah.
And you know, younger players didn't get an opportunity. So the first thing is Germany embraced younger players, athletic players, you know, players that can really execute the vision of the coaches. So that's the first thing that's positive. The second thing is I think that the American soccer player, the high-level American soccer player, matches up really well with the Germans in terms of, you know, we have good, very good mentalities. I think physically we're very good, and technically we're good players as well. So I think those three things, plus our adaptability, really makes it comfortable for German clubs to want to look at our players.
U.S. men's national team coach, we're very pleased to have in studio. I'm very thankful. Greg Berhalter, USsoccer.com. Get your tickets. The United States will be here in Houston to take on March 26th Chile. That is a wonderful match. We'll get a little bit more into that. But let's go back to Germany, because it's interesting what's going on in Germany, because all of a sudden the German Federation comes out and says, guys like Thomas Müller are not going to continue to play for the team, Jerome Boateng. And then we've also heard their sort of general manager, Oliver Bierhoff, talking about the fact that, hey, we're not producing, you know, the game-changing player anymore. And, of course, that's something we always talk about here in the United States.
It is interesting. And I think that the Germans, you know, have reinvented themselves after the 2002 World Cup, and have made it a priority to develop a different game model. And I think now they're at a crossroads again where they're looking at themselves and they're saying, hey, how do we need to keep developing? How do we need to keep improving? And they're asking some questions. And I think rightfully so after the performance in the last World Cup and some of the other recent performances. But I like how they're not afraid to, you know, to look at what they're doing and question it.
Do we have to be decisive a little bit more in that area in the future as a soccer-playing country at our higher levels?
I think every country needs to do that, right, to a certain extent.
Because it is pretty impressive when all of a sudden it's like, wow, okay, there is a midstream change here in our thinking. And look at the players that are now being moved on.
Yeah, and what you'd like to see, I mean, what you'd like to have seen in Germany's case, you know, and I don't want to speak for Germany because it's, you know, it's one of the world's soccer powers, but that they would have realized that maybe a little earlier and said, okay, here's the course we're on. Maybe we need to correct it while we're – instead of now saying, okay, we need to take these drastic measures.
These are difficult decisions, though, when you're transitioning on guys that are legendary,
and
right?
And one thing I'll tell you as a coach is you have the tendency to stick with players that have done it for you already.
Yeah.
So I completely understand the coach's point of view.
Partial human nature, right?
Exactly.
He's Greg Berhalter, U.S. men's national team coach, U.S. taking on Chile. That's a game you're not going to want to miss. March 26, USsoccer.com, to get your tickets there. All right, so in your vision, 2-3 years from now, what does the U.S. men's national team look like?
So I think, we will have a clear identity. We will have a way to play that when you turn on the television, you don't even need to see the uniforms and you'll know it's a U.S. soccer playing. And that's what we're striving for. And we want to be developing the players in the phases of the game that they can perform their tasks. But we also want that game model to be exciting. We want the fans to appreciate it. We want a game model that can stand up to some of these bigger countries, and we can perform well, and we can hurt these other countries. So overall, we would want something that's identifiable, that people are really drawn to.
Isn't that important for any team? I mean, that's how you get a fan base behind you. And by the way, you've done an amazing job as an inspirational leader getting on shows and talking about your team, because when I look at you talk about the U.S. national team, I don't feel like there's anything hidden behind the screen. I think you're very open, and to me, it instills confidence that you're that confident to talk about the intricacies and the subtleties that you're trying to achieve with this group of young men.
Well, first of all, thank you. That's nice to hear. But secondly, you know, I think that, you know, the way I see it is we're all in this together. I really do. And, you know, the amount of support I've gotten from MLS clubs, and I really feel like, you know, this is a job that I have, but it's on behalf of a lot of people, and a lot of people are very supportive, and so it's a big responsibility, and the more we can be inclusive, the more I think we can get people behind us.
So when you take this job, did you realize, based on where the U.S. was, not qualifying, it took a while for you to be named a head coach, and people were upset it didn't come quicker, did you say, look, I do have to be very open with the public, because we are in some ways trying to rebud the interest around the U.S. men's national team?
I think that's part of who I am as a person. You know, that's kind of how I operate. But I do think it's a big responsibility for this job. And I do think that giving information out is important. Communicating is very important.
He's Greg Berhalter, U.S. men's national team coach. In studio here, was in studio this morning. So he has been all over Houston today, really promoting the U.S., and we're very, very appreciative of it. Talk a little bit about, obviously, the player that the mainstream knows, Christian Pulisic, and where he is now. And obviously, he's got an interesting situation, headed to Chelsea. He's had some injury problems, and what he will mean to the national team.
So I think that, you know, Christian's the type of player that you want to build around because of his skill set, because of his game-changing ability. You know, he's a guy that you're excited to work with and to think about the possibilities that he can bring to life by what he can do on the field is exciting for a coach. And I think for us, it's understanding Christian at a deeper level, motivating him at a deep level, to perform for our team, that he can really help the club, because he's a special guy and a special player.
How about a quick hit on Timothy Weah at Celtic in Scotland?
Yeah, you know, Timothy, we've been watching intensively now that he's been getting more playing time with Celtic, and you know, he also has a game changing ability with his speed and his tremendous pace and good striker of the ball, good finisher. You know, he's interesting. What I will say about all these young players, and I think it's important, is that they go to an environment where they can be on the field and perform. It's very hard for a player to continue his development if he's not on the field, and that's a key element. When I sat down with Timothy in Paris, you know, that's one thing I mentioned to him. I said, listen, you got to be on the field, because we need to see you taking strides, and you can't just develop playing national team games. It's impossible. We don't have enough games.
Mm-hmm. So you're setting the bar high for these guys. He's Greg Berhalter, U.S. men's national team coach, which takes me back to Major League Soccer and all the additional allocation money, and maybe it's nudging out playing time for young Americans. Does MLS have to get braver in general? And I know some clubs are doing it more than others, but to be on an MLS roster is great, but to not be playing on an MLS roster as a young player could be the kiss of death. So, you know, how do we balance that? Because we know some of these coaches are keeping jobs and have to win.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. And this is just my opinion, so take it for what it's worth. But what I see is that, you know, the extra spend in MLS rosters is helping the product in general, right? The mm-hmm. level of competition is getting better, right? So in the short term, and then at the same time, MLS academies are improving, and they're producing better players. Right, the level that MLS academies are working at, it has improved. It's a high level now. So in the short term, what I see happening is the academy product will have a more difficult time breaking into the first team, because the first teams are better. But those players that do break in are going to be better players, and that's going to help U.S. soccer. And then in the long term, I think as these academies are producing more players, they're going to get opportunities in the long term, because we'll be producing better players.
Greg, let's go a little personal with you. What do you do away from the game? Because I know you're going all over the country. You're tracking your players. You're having video conferences. I mean, people don't understand the things. A lot of your work is done before you even meet your players. What do you do to kind of break it up and get away from the game and just kind of get a reboot?
Yeah, so I think the thing I do the most is spend time with family. You know, I have four children, you know, a very supportive wife who's been with me through this whole journey of Europe and my playing career, now my coaching career. And that's how I really unwind is just being myself in front of my family.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I think four kids would help you with that as well. You have taken principles from Dutch soccer, having played there. I mean, when I look at the places you've been and the influences you've had, it's a pretty remarkable upbringing and variety of styles of play, which you've personally been involved with and obviously worked with all these managers and all these different stops. And we saw Ajax yesterday put on a typical Johan Cruyff 4-3-3 annihilation of Real Madrid. Let's just say it was incredibly impressive. What did the Netherlands mean to you in your career from that perspective? Because you are a cerebral guy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much time we have for this question, but it was, it was just amazing my time spent in Holland. And when I think about, some of the experiences, this is when Ajax won the Champions League. PSV was a very mm-hmm. strong team, and it was really a time, a really explosive time in Dutch soccer, where this player after player was going to top clubs. You talk about Mark Overmars, Edwin van der Sar, Frank de Boer, Ronald de Boer,
Kluivert,
Edgar Davids, Patrick Kluivert, Clarence Seedorf.
Kluivert had the winner right in that Champions League, and he was 17 or 18?
18 years old. Yeah,
jeez.
And I mean, so you have the great. This great team and this great culture of soccer. And then you have the conversations, and Dutch people love to discuss and they love to talk about tactics. And I fully immersed myself in that. I was right there in it and trying to learn as much as I can. So the game model that we have now is a positional based game, right? The derivative would be from.
So you pulled some of that positional based from the Dutch Eredivisie and your experience.
Principles that we work with that are positional based principles from Dutch soccer, and then there, I think there's other elements from German soccer, and there's other elements that we're incorporating. But I think the derivative, could be from a positional game from Holland.
Last one before we let you go. Your first game against Panama, going out there leading the United States, that must have been something special.
It was special, but the thing was, it was more like a curiosity type of thing that I was having, because you work with the players for 2.5 weeks, and I was just curious to see, okay, what is it going to look like on the field, right? Because you don't know. It's been 2.5 weeks of work, and you have to see what the product will actually look like. And that's why I was excited for it. So when I'm watching the game, there's a personal moment that's nice, but for me, it was more the curiosity of, okay, how is this thing going to look here?
Isn't it inspiring, though, to have a clean slate here and have a lot of these young guys that, look, when I watch these games on TV, I'm looking at guys going, wow, this kid wants to be a part of the future, and he wants to be a part of it for a long time. And he's trying to stick his flag in the ground.
Yeah. And that is exciting. And that is, working with the guys in January, they all were fantastic to work with. And meeting all the guys in Europe so far, they've been great. And I'm really looking forward to working with this team.
Greg, we thank you for your time. Thanks for coming around to ESPN 97.5 and getting on in the morning show as well with John and Lance. And we wish you the best of luck. And we're definitely behind you at this station. And we're looking forward to your visit here in March 26 in Houston.
Thanks, Glenn.
So that was Greg Berhalter. Again, excited to see that game against Chile, one of the top teams in South America. That's a team that's going to come in with Eduardo Vargas, probably Arturo Vidal. Lots of names. Who knows if Alexis Sanchez will be here? I'm not sure about that one. But that is one we need to get out to, and I'll tell you why we need to get out to. That game is being scrutinized as an international game when it comes to taking all the data for trying to get World Cup 2026. I think there's only 9,000 to 10,000 tickets sold. We got to get a move on. So I hope we're going to get out to that game. United States against Chile. I think there's a good chance that you will see Christian Pulisic here. Tyler Adams, some of the players that are playing on big teams in Europe that are young, rising American stars. As we go to break, don't forget Kings Court. It's a real soccer pub in Edo. Kings Court right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins. 13 TVs, a giant big screen at Kings Court, home of El Batallon, Houston Red Army, all these different fan groups, Real Madrid as well. They show everything. La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, Dynamo, MLS, NFL Sunday Ticket, 24 taps, full bar. Get over there, say hello to Jay, visit the amazing rooftop deck. Say hello to Jay. KingsCourtHTX.com. Be there before the Dynamo Montreal this weekend.